actually back and forth on that thing. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Begin to hear and chant and the glories of Giriraj Govardhan. We have been requested very helpfully by the local residents here that we should beg the permission, the blessings of Giriraj Maharaj, that he will allow us to speak and also allow us to hear by his side, because we are coming here in a very humble way, without any qualification whatsoever. So it will only be by his mercy that we can enter into any of the mysteries surrounding his transcendental pastimes. So on behalf of us all, I'm praying to Giriraj Maharaj that he will kindly allow us to sit here by his side and to hear of his glories, and that they may thereby penetrate into our hardened hearts and allow us to enter, allow us to take some of the sweetness that is the nature of the Leela of Braj with us from wherever we have come and to wherever we may be now thereafter returning. Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, jai jai Sri Radhesh. So we are being told that this place here is called, as we know, Govinda Kund, and that it is very appropriate that here we should take some jal and some pushpa, and we should do some puja of Giriraj. I don't know if we were wanting to do that, but I don't know if we actually practically were able to arrange that we could do some puja here. But everyone will get an opportunity to do some Giriraj puja seva tomorrow on our final day of meeting together, where we're staying over at the Dwarka Ashram. So this place is one of the most potent pastime places around the prikrama of Giriraj Govardhan. Because one can sit here and go on and on and on hearing the glories of Giriraj for hours and hours, actually. Because it was here at Govinda Kund that Krishna was made into the Govinda, the Indra of the Go, or the cows of the cowherd men, at the request of Surabhi Devi. So if we want to know the pastime, we have to go back to the very beginning. Previously, if we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we will see that the chapter prior to the lifting of Govardhan Hill describes the pastime wherein the cowherd boys went to seek from the Yajnik Brahmanas' wives, the Yajna Patnis, seeking some foodstuffs from them to please and feed Krishna, because they were very hungry. And the reason that they were very hungry was because previous to that, Krishna had, in response to the young gopis of Braj and their ardent desire to have Krishna as their husband, Krishna had arranged to meet to go to Tirgat, where they were performing their Katyayani Vrat, and climb up the top of a very tall Kadamba tree, possibly much taller than any of these trees. This is a Kadamba tree here. And he took all of the gopis' clothes, as we know, and he hung them over the branches of the tree, and then he teased them and invited them to come out of the water and receive from his hand back their clothes. And the gopis responded with very shy and angry words to Krishna even, and he didn't relent. And finally, out of the purity of their love and their transcendental emotions, they came out of the water, meaning that they fully surrendered everything, body, life, everything, their shyness, their shame, and everything to Krishna. So, at that time, Krishna made a promise to them. He promised that in future he would dance with them. And in this way, he would respond to their desire that they could marry him. Because many of the gopis who began the Katyayani Vrat, they were unmarried. And on the final day, when all the gopis came, the married and unmarried gopis were together, then Krishna assured them all that he would reciprocate with them in the mood of a husband. Then, because he left early in the morning to do that, he was hungry, he had had no breakfast. And that was why the cowherd boys went to the yagyik brahmanas who were living near to Mathura in a place called Batrol. And the boys begged for something for Krishna and Balaram to eat. The ladies, as we know, were much, much, much more devotional than their husbands. Their husbands were busy with the rituals and the rules and everything concerned with their puja, and they ignored the requests of these simple boys. They thought them childish, and they proceeded with their much more complex and formal and structured ritualistic ceremonies. So in this way they missed the point, because the person who the yagyas, yagyeshwar, are meant to please was standing at a distance very near to them, but they did not recognize that. So then after that, it was these very same yagyic brahmanas, in the village of these yagyic brahmanas, that Nanda Maharaj was beginning to discuss with these brahmanas all the complexities and the intricacies of performing some puja. This puja, as we know, was for the purpose of satisfying Indra. So Krishna, he was there as a young boy with his father, but he wanted to stop the residents of Vrindavan from depending upon anybody else except he himself. So he sat down very near to his father on a little cloth, and a little cloth asana, he sat beside him, and he said to him, listening very carefully as his father's discussing with these brahmanas what is going to be performed and how to do it. Krishna said in a very innocent way, he said, my dear father, can you explain to me what exactly is taking place here? What are you all working on here? What are you discussing? So then, at that time, when Krishna asked these questions, what is the name of this ceremony? And who gave you the instructions on how to perform it? And also, what are the rituals involved? Can you explain this to me? Then his father thought, he's just a little boy. It's like he's just... So he thought he didn't want to go into any of those complicated matters. So he just patted Krishna, and he picked him up, and he put him on his lap, and he patted him on the head, he smiled at him. And he was about to say something very simple, and he said, my dear son, this is something... We've done this for many years. It's hereditary. In our family, we do this. You see, because the idea is that for us, we're cowherd men. We live in the village. We live off the land. And our wealth comes from the cows. And in order for the cows to be happy and give us milk, there has to be grass. And for the purpose of having grass, there has to come rain. So Indradev, he is in command of all the rain and everything. So therefore, we seek his blessings. This is very essential. It's very essential to worship the demigods and pray for their blessings for the well-being of human society and ourselves. So then Krishna smiled very mildly. He was hiding his real feelings. And he began to speak to his father in a most amazing way. Because here we will find, if we read in the Krishna book, or we read any of the commentaries on this particular chapter, we will find that Krishna is now going to begin to speak atheism to his father. So he began to speak very, very beautifully, you can imagine, so sweetly, that he's going to convince his father of a wrong philosophy. So he said, first of all, he said, the first thing is that you should understand that it actually doesn't have anything to do with the demigods, what happens to us. whether we get rain or don't get rain. This has all to do with our karma, with our, the actions and the reactions of our previous activities. Because the demigods, they're responsible. Their role is that they have to give us what we're destined to get. So this is what they'll do. They will give us whatever is our destiny. They're not independent. And not only that, he said, but God, the Supreme, he's actually not the Supreme Controller. The reason he's not the Supreme Controller is that because everything here is actually under the control of nature and the modes of nature, and so he cannot act independently of them. They're the controllers. And not only that, he said, you should think for a minute. You're going to perform this puja and pray in this way and seek a blessing. But in the monsoon season, when the rains pour down and they're so troublesome and everybody gets sick and everything's so inconvenient, do you really think that's a blessing as a result of your yajna? This is a blessing, all this rain? Do you think that's a blessing? And not only that, but have you ever noticed that the oceans, the rain pours down on the oceans in the same way as it pours down on the land? And the oceans didn't do anything. They didn't do any yajnas. The rain just pours down there and pours down and pours down. So it isn't coming from the yajnas. There's no need to worship Indra. This is not at all important for us. And also you should remember that there's no certainty in our lives. We're farming men. So we travel from place to place. When the grass is not green here, we go to another place. And when the grass is not so good there, we go to another place. So there's no certainty for us. It's not that we will perform some yajna and guaranteed rain will come. And, he said, I think that the more important thing in this situation is that we should do our duty. Because we're cowherd men, we're vaishyas, we should do our duties and everything will be all right. I think we should forget all about this Indra. Then Krishna presented an alternative to his father. He said, in my opinion, instead of worshipping Indra, which isn't really very intelligent, I think that we should worship instead our Govardhan hill. Because Govardhan, go means the cows, and Vardhan means to expand and increase. So Govardhan will give so much grass for the cows. And we get so many things. We get water from the waterfalls on Govardhan hill. We get minerals from the rocks. We get so many fruits from the trees and flowers from the vines. We get everything that we need from Govardhan Hill. So instead of worshipping Indra, who's just up there, a paltry demigod, instead, let us all worship and serve Giriraj. Then he gave his father instructions and told him how to do this. He told him that you should collect from the cows all kinds of milk products. Milk, ghee, sweet rice, yogurt, everything, and you should bring all of these things to worship Govardhan. Then you should invite all these yajnic brahmanas here before you who are about to perform this puja. You should bring them all, and they should also be served very sumptuously and fed and honored. Then we should have a fire sacrifice and distribute cows to them. And then after that we should worship Giriraj with an anukut and then circumambulate him. So he gave many different instructions to the cowherd men, and he turned to the other men and he said, you should all dress yourselves so handsomely like demigods, with ornaments on your ears and gold necklaces and silk turbans on your heads and your most colorful cloth, wear that, and the ladies should all wear their silks and their jewelry and everything, and everyone should dress up in the most ornate and beautiful ways. And when everybody is looking so wonderful, we should just simply circumambulate around Giriraj and all our problems will be solved. I promise you, this is what we should do. And you should forget about worshipping Indra. So Nanda Maharaj, he listened to Krishna's instructions. And it wasn't necessarily that he was completely convinced, but he so much loved his son that there was no question in his mind that he should do what was most pleasing to him. So he thought for a little and then he said, all right, we will follow your instructions exactly. You tell us what to do and we will worship Giriraj in this way. So this was Krishna giving a challenge to Indra. Krishna knew what he was doing when he made this arrangement. And this arrangement was specifically made, actually, to make Indra very angry. So the cowherd men brought all the cows to that place, and they decorated them very wonderfully. They put ornate decorated silken cloths on the backs of the cows with all kinds of jewels embroidered into the decorations. And they put gold-plated horns on top of the horns, horn hats on the hoods of the horns, on the horns of the cows, and pearl necklaces around their necks, and beautiful tinkling bells around their legs and around their necks. And then Nanda Maharaj came forward in his best of attire, in a very happy mood, and he offered padya to Giriraj to wash Govardhan's lotus feet. Then they all stood before the beautiful hill, and as they had been instructed by Krishna himself, they began to bring all the residents of Vrindavan began to bring to a place called Anukut, which is down further near to Dan Nivartanavan, just maybe a couple of kilometers down. They brought, all of them brought offerings for Giriraj, all kinds of sweets and so on and so forth, and they placed them like it looked like this beautiful array of foodstuffs for Giriraj. Ananda Maharaj looked and he saw that they looked like, the rice looked like mountain peaks as it piled high on the plate. And then the ladies had poured ghee all over these mountains of rice, so they looked like beautiful golden mountains. And all around there were fruits placed, all around this huge area of offerings, and so many different kinds of sweets and sabjis and dal and so on, so that the actual offerings looked like a second Govardhan. And then, because Krishna knew that the residents of Vrindavan were a little hesitant about displeasing Indra in this way, he assumed an enormous form as if sitting on the top of Govardhan. Then separately, he assumed this form, then separately he's standing in front as a cowherd boy, pointing to the cow, to the other members of his family and the other cowherd boys and saying, "Look!" And on top of Giriraj was this huge form. And he started saying, "Previously, when we would look at Giriraj, we would think that his mouth was a huge open cave. We'd say, that's the mouth of Giriraj. But now he has a beautiful, handsome face. And previously, we would say that the arms of Giriraj are the trees that stick up from his body. But now he's got beautiful, handsome, slender, strong arms. And he's sitting there in this form. Let us feed him to his heart's content." So Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī says that in this huge form, Giriraj started to eat all the offerings of the Brajavasis, and he took everything they had offered. And in between, as he was eating, he would call for something to drink, and he would drink from all the kuns around until he had emptied all the kuns all the way around his peaks. And still he continued. And he wanted more and more, and therefore this village is called Anyor, or bring more. Kept calling, more, more, more. And the residents kept bringing whatever they had, they kept bringing to Giriraj, more and more and more. And he kept eating and eating and eating. And the residents were so astonished to see this amazing pastime. Then, when he had finished eating, then he drank some water. And he spat the water, just as if you drink some water to wash your mouth and you spit it out. He spat the water, and wherever Giriraj in this huge form spat the water, different crops grew up immediately and became very fertile. And then he reached over and took a big bamboo from a bamboo field, grabbed the bamboo, and started cleaning his teeth with the bamboo in this way. And then, when he had been completely satisfied by all the residents' offerings, then Nanda Maharaj and Krishna wanted to make an arti ceremony for him. But he was so huge, how to make such an arti? But somehow or another, by Krishna's desire, a huge lamp, a ghee lamp, appeared with thousands and thousands of flames. And by this arti offering, they offered arti to Giriraj. Then after they had offered obeisances to him in this form, this gigantic form that Giriraj had assumed to convince the residents of Braja that he was a person. And Krishna had done this also to give them faith, because he knew also that Indra was not going to be so pleased about all of this. So he wanted to assure them that they had done the correct thing. Then, after they had offered their obeisances, this huge form of Giriraj disappeared. And then they began to worship the cows. They worshipped Govardhan completely, then they called the cows, and they worshipped the cows by circumambulating them, feeding them, offering them garments, and then offering them arti. And when the cows and Govardhan had been worshipped, at the same time, on the many temples around Govardhan, the demigods were being worshipped. And according to Srila Jiva Goswami and his Gopal Champu, there was a big yajna, and the demigods all came to see this. But the one person who didn't come was Indra. Indra was feeling very, very upset and very, very left out and not at all happy. So then, after that, Giriraj gave them so many benedictions, and Kabi Kanpur tells us that anyone who hears the pastime of Giriraj Govardhan will become delivered from all calamities of life. Giriraj Maharaja Ki Jai. So then everybody was fed. First the elderly men and the brahmanas, then the children, then the ladies were fed, then everybody was fed, and then even the dogs were fed. Giriraj made sure that everybody took some prasadam. And then Nanda Baba, he gave everybody gifts. He gave them beautiful silken cloths and jewels and necklaces and so many different things, and thanked everybody, all the residents of Vrindavan, for coming to perform this puja. And then after that, then the parikrama of Giriraj began. Krishna had told the men how to dress and how everybody should be attired, and so they were all in their very best, and the cows looked so beautiful because they had all been worshipped and they were all sparkling and wonderfully decorated. And so then they began. In the beginning, in the front, Kabi Kanpur describes from his own transcendental vision that the musicians started in the beginning. And then behind the musicians came the cowherd boys, and they were holding their sticks. And with them came the cows. And then after that came the men walking behind the cows and the boys, so the boys and cows could frolic in the front. Then another group of musicians came, and then many singers, and behind the singers were many dancers who were dancing in various beautiful ways. And behind the singers and the dancers came many, many bullock carts, and on these bullock carts were seated all the ladies of Braj. And in this procession they began to circumambulate Giriraj. So they continued until it became nightfall, and at nightfall they stopped. And they stayed the night here by the side of Giriraj. And the following day, there is one in the calendar, in the calendar, the Hindu calendar, also the Vaishnav calendar, there is a day in which the brothers and sisters perform worship of each other and pray for each other's well-being. So that particular occasion took place the next day, and Krishna's uncle, Sunanda, brought, because Krishna had no sister, brought his daughter Sananda. And Sananda performed this ceremony with Krishna. And then they had another big feast, and they were enjoying in such a happy and cheerful way. Meanwhile, whilst the residents of Vrindavan were so happy, in such a pleasing mood, in the heavenly planets, King Indra was very, very disturbed. He was feeling he had like a headache, because he had been ignored in this way, and he couldn't tolerate this. So for his own relief, he began to think how he could get some revenge on the residents of Vrindavan. So while sitting amongst the other demigods, he was very sad and distressed, and his mind was very turbulent, and he was calculating in different ways what should be done. And he thought to himself, these residents of Vrindavan have been very, very offensive to me. And this is because they have listened to this talkative, arrogant, foolish little boy. And because they have listened to him, they have defied me in this way. So I will teach them a lesson. I will show them who is actually powerful. They think that he is powerful. I will show them who's powerful. I will arrange to show a display of my might. And he thought to himself that he would arrange for the most destructive and powerful clouds, because Indra is the king of heaven, so all these clouds are under his control. The clouds that bring the rain, so the cowherd men had refused to offer respects to him for the rainfall that he was providing. He said, I will show them who's very powerful. So he called for the clouds that come at the time of cosmic destruction. And these clouds were so powerful that when they started raining and pouring down rain, they could fill up the whole of all the planet would be covered, completely submerged in water. And he told these clouds, instead of actually just submerging everything, I want you to go to Vrindavan, just this one place. Now imagine the power of the clouds. They can submerge the whole universe. And he's saying, just go to this one place. I want you to devastate this place. Completely devastate it. I want these people taught a lesson. And he said, I want you to go there and destroy the place. Destroy the animals, destroy the houses, and teach them all the lesson. So imagine what was his pride. And what was the effect of his anger and his false understanding of his own position? That he was preparing himself to kill all the residents of Braj. So this certainly, sometimes we become angry and we become inimical to somebody. But generally I don't think there's any of us who sort of would become angry because we haven't got the power maybe, that we would want to annihilate or destroy a whole place, a whole village, or a whole group of people. When we see this kind of brutality on a world basis, everybody becomes horrified at the ghastly nature of it. But here, under the control of this power, his power and his wrath, Indra was thinking in this way. So the clouds collected at the order of Indra. They were a little nervous. They even said it. I don't know if this is a very good idea, because actually Krishna, he's not a cowherd boy, he's a supreme Bhagavan. This is maybe dangerous, but Indra wouldn't hear them and ordered and they insisted, and so they came. And they all formed just above Braj. And they went up and up and up, because remember, they're usually covering the whole of the universe. Now they're all focusing on this one place. They went up and up and up, right up to the heavenly planets. It was this cloud formation right above Vrindavan. And the whole atmosphere became dark, black as soot. It was so dark, no light, nothing. And then they started raining. And I was thinking when I was reading the description that is given in the Krishna book, it explains that the rain was coming down like arrows. They were sharp arrows. It was pouring down. And sometimes it is said also that it came down like pillars. So it was also compared to like if the Ganges, we've seen the Ganges in Mayapur. Imagine if the Ganges was up in the sky and all that volume of water, the weight of all that water, instead of going horizontally along the ground, was pouring down on one place like a huge, fierce waterfall. Or has anyone seen Niagara Falls? Because if anyone goes to that place, you see again the power of the force of all this water coming down, and it's so strong that there's spray that's coming up. In the same way as the water comes down, the spray goes up, and even meters and meters away, you're still completely wetted by the whole effect of this forceful display of water. Well, Indra, that was nothing. Indra was going to completely devastate Vrindavan. So he had the water pouring and pouring down. And not only that, there were huge chunks of ice were falling from the sky. And as this was going on, there were very fierce winds whipping everything, and the trees were shaking. And the residents of Vrindavan, all of a sudden, this huge, unnatural storm is taking place. The only thing that they thought of, the only place they could go, was immediately they began to call out to Krishna, 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 please save us. Please save us from this terrible, devastating wrath and anger of Indra. Because they knew it was Indra. Who else would pour all this rain to try and destroy them like this? And the cows took their little calves underneath their bodies, and with the flap of, you know, the flap of skin in the front of the mother cow, she tried to cover the calf's head with the flap of skin from her neck. And the bulls, very strong, the rain would come crashing down on their bodies, and then it would splinter into little droplets like pearls. And with red eyes, furious, angry, they would look up in the sky at Indra, because they're very strong and proud. And all the residents of Vrindavan began to try to protect themselves from the difficulty and the distress that they were feeling. Meanwhile, Krishna, by his yogamaya potency, he decided that what he was going to do was protect the residents of Vrindavan by lifting Giriraj. So he arranged for his yogamaya to provide a moment in which the rain did not fall. This is Krishna's opulence. So that he could run from the veranda at Nandagram of his palace. Because Giriraj's ship was very large then and went all the way to near Nandagram. So he to run from the palace to lift up Giriraj so that his turban wouldn't get wet. He arranged that Yogamaya would stop the rain momentarily. And Krishna came out, and then he lifted up the hill, making a huge crunching noise. He lifted the hill, but even though it made such a loud sound, he lifted it in the same way that we might lift up a piece of grass and hold it up and play with it, and just like a child would play with a mushroom, he just lifted it up, no effort whatsoever, and held. But this is just a small display of Giriraj's greatness. This is a minute part of the size of Giriraj. Giriraj was enormous. So he lifted up the whole of Giriraj on his left hand. Left hand even, not even right hand. Left hand is used for other things. Right hand is used for important things. Just lifted it, lifted Giriraj up. And then he started to call. And he called all the residents of Vrindavan and said, quickly, quickly, come under this hill and don't be afraid of anything. And don't think that this hill will fall from my hand. It is not. And don't think that I'm also experiencing any difficulty. This is Giriraj's mercy. He's just resting on top of my finger. Now, he's like an umbrella. You all come under the hill. So all the residents of Vrindavan were astonished. And Balaram called them all and led them under the hill. And the cowherd men brought all the cows under the hill. And when they came under the hill, they were absolutely astonished. Because we can imagine what you'd find underneath a huge hill like this. You'd find so many tangling roots from the trees and rocks and kind of worms and different creatures that live underground. And it would be quite messy and damp and so on, pouring rain. But it wasn't like that at all. Underneath the hill was this beautiful valley, and there were beautiful palaces made out of crystal and pearls. And the cowherd men saw there was rows and rows of green fields with the cows, and so many meeting places and sitting places, and crystal jeweled paved ground with billions and billions of diamonds and rubies and so forth all under the hill. And when they walked under the hill, they were so astonished by the beauty that they saw beneath Giriraj. And Krishna said, do not think that this valley underneath the hill is any different than Giriraj himself. So come here and be happy. So all the residents came under the hill. And they were all sitting and standing around in different groups. And the most important and the most satisfying thing was that now they could all just stand there, no matter who they were, and just gaze at Krishna, Giridhari. And so they all just stood and they were all just looking at him. And Nanda and Yasoda stood nearby, and Batu, Madhu Mangal, he stood just beside Krishna so he could tell a joke or two. And Balaram stood there, and all the ladies stood with their mothers, and they all looked very shyly at Krishna. And everybody was astonished, and they became so happy. Everyone was happy except one person, and that was Yasoda Mata. She wasn't at all happy. And Batu said, he said to Krishna, Krishna, listen, you must be tired. So just I've got my golden stick here. I'll hold up my stick. You just transfer the hill onto my stick. And then you can let your arm go and you can relax a little bit. Because you must be tired from standing here like this. And then Yasoda, she began to speak. And she said, my dear son, she said, because of your impudence, we're in this terrible situation. You have uncontrolled senses. And therefore, because of your uncontrolled senses, which are never good, you have disrespected the demigods. You should never have done this. And now look what's happened. Because you have offended them and interrupted the yajna, now you have to stand here and you're very much overworked with your hand in the air like this. And she began to cry, just thinking of Krishna's delicate hand up in this way, holding the hill. So then she reached out and she touched his hand and she started to massage his hand very lovingly with tears in her eyes, thinking of the pain he must be feeling in standing in this way. And Bhattu said, and then she started praying to Giriraj, my dear Giriraj, if I've ever done anything good, if you're really God, if you're really a person, please make yourself so light that you're not actually resting on my son's hand. And then Bhattu said, but actually, he said, it's very nice. This is a good arrangement that Giriraj has made, because now we can all stand here and look at you, and we can all see your beautiful smiling face, and we're all feeling so happy. And Yasoda turned to Bhattu and she said, you talkative boy, she said, you think this is nice? Do you think it's nice that he's holding this heavy load like this? Do you think this is sweet? How can you call this sweet? How could any mother tolerate this? And she began to cry again. And then Krishna said, no, no. He said, don't worry, my dear mother. This is actually quite fun. You see, because Giriraj is just floating round and round and round on my hand. This is so much fun. And Yasoda said, maybe he's floating. Maybe floating. But how can you call it fun to stand for so long? You have to stand here all of this time in this way. And she said, anyway, let him fly by himself for a while. You can sit down, let him float. Why are you doing this? And Bhattu said, don't worry. He said, don't worry about anything, Yasodama. He said, by my mantras, I will say my mantras. And by my mantras, Giriraj will be able to float. He can fly alone. And Yasoda said, what nonsense are you speaking? And she said, why are you telling jokes at a time like this? How could you joke like this? My son is in such difficulty and all you're making is very, very silly comments like this. And then Nanda Maharaj interrupted and he said, no, don't scold Bhattu, he said. He said, it is the nature of a diplomatic person that they use affectionate words at a time that's very trying. So Bhattu, he's just trying to make you feel better, so don't become angry with him. And Krishna was standing there, smiling at the residents of Braja. And the young Gopi girls were looking at him, and they were thinking how beautiful he was, how beautiful his body was. And they commented to each other, just look at his left hand lifted in the air like that. Look at the shape of his arm. And they were all looking at him. And look at the way his body goes up straight like that because he's lifting his hand. And look at the way his legs are placed. Look at his feet. And they were looking at Krishna in this way and speaking amongst themselves. And one of them said, look at the way he's got his right thumb stuck into his red silk belt. He's just standing there like this, so casual. He's so beautiful. And not only that, but he has a blue lotus flower just draped over his ear. And look how the pollen from the inner of the lotus flower is decorating his cheeks and falling slowly along his shoulder. He's so beautiful. Then they commented how his ankle bells, which were usually tinkling and very charming, had now become completely silent because Krishna was just standing for such a long time in one place. And then Krishna, he moved slightly and his ankle bells again began to tinkle. Then they started talking about the beauty of his flute, as we were hearing yesterday. And Krishna, knowing that they were appreciating, he had his flute tucked in the side in his belt. With his right hand, he took out his flute and he started to play his flute with his right hand so expertly. And Bhattu, as we know, he became very upset. And he said, "Don't do that. Oh, please, don't play your flute now. This is very, very dangerous. You shouldn't be so daring. This is very, very dangerous. Because if Giriraj becomes ecstatic, he will start to tremble and he'll fall off your hand. Or not only that, he will start to melt. And then we will all drown if he starts to melt. By this is very dangerous. Don't do this." And then the boys turned around to Bhattu and they said, "Oh, Bhattu, don't be such a coward. Of course, Giriraj is so sober. Even if he feels some ecstasy, he's not going to melt and fall all over us. So give up your restlessness." And in this way, the residents of Vrindavan, under the hill, they were joking and laughing and playing, and they were full of so much joyfulness. And for one whole week, they just stood there and looked at Krishna and continued to interact. No hunger, no tiredness, no thirst. Because this is what they all thirsted for more than anything else, was to be able to see Krishna with unblinking eyes. What to speak of now, unblinking eyes. They could see him day and night, each of them reciprocating with him in their own mood and their own way. But there is one thing that was dangerous, and that was when Srimati Radhika, she gave one very secret, a smiling, sidelong glance to Krishna. And when Krishna, who happened to be looking in her direction, he saw her beautiful eyes and her beautiful, the meaning of her beautiful eyes, then his hand began to tremble, and his hand began to tremble, the hill began to tremble, and then Yasoda became completely disturbed, and she said, "Put your other hand down, I'll feed you, you must be getting hungry and weak." And she became completely worried, and she started to try and calm him, and all the cowherd men put up their sticks immediately to protect. And then Bhattu started laughing and he said, "I know what that's all about." He said, "There's no danger. Your sticks are only just scratching Giriraj's body. Don't even bother. Everything is under control." So this was going on under the hill. And Krishna, by his Kaustubh gem, he made like another sun under the hill. So it was completely illuminated, whilst outside was dark. And the thunder was coming, and the lightning was coming down like huge streaks of lightning. It looked like fire in the midst of all of the rain, because there was so much lightning and thunder. And Indra also came to see how everything was going. So when he got there, he saw that all of his clouds were doing their work, and it was thundering and lightning. But he saw that on the top of Giriraj, not underneath, but on top of Giriraj, not even one leaf had been disturbed or fallen from the trees on top of the hill. And not even one tiny piece of grain of dust had been washed away by his thunder and his lightning and his rain. Because Krishna also was acting in such a way that as soon as the rain would fall, by his potency, he would dry it up immediately. And so Indra's all of his power and might and all of his force and his enmity and everything was having absolutely no effect whatsoever on Giriraj. Betiye. Lali, betiye. So then, seeing all of this, he began to understand that he had done something very wrong, and he called all of the clouds and asked them all to immediately leave. And he began to think what he should do. Now this took place, the clouds left, Krishna looked out from under the hill, they could see the sparkling of all the temples and houses in Nandagram, all shining, all washed and refreshed by the rain of Indra. And Krishna called all the cowherd men together and he said, "Indra has stopped this rainfall, we can go out now." So he told everyone, "Go out now and then I'll put down the hill." So first of all the boys ran out. Then the men came out, the ladies came out. Then they called the cows out. And at first the cows didn't want to go because Krishna was still under the hill. So the cows were hesitating, and the cowherd boys called them. And then they shot out. All the cows came out from underneath the hill. And then they looked,
and they saw that Krishna was still under the hill. So then they shot back under the hill again. And then Krishna had to call them and tell them in very sweet words that only cows know, in cow language. He beckoned them to leave so that he could again place the hill very gently, just as it had been before. Then the residents of Vrindavan all stood around Krishna and offered their respects and their appreciation. And gradually they returned to their homes, as did Krishna. And then the next day was Ekadasi, and after that was Dvadasi. And on the 11th day, after the Indra Puja had not been performed, 7 days under the hill, then altogether 11 days later, Krishna came out by himself because he wanted to see and inspect the damage that may have been done, and also primarily because he wanted to give Indra an opportunity, because Indra was so completely mortified and ashamed and horrified of what he had done. He wanted to give him an opportunity to come and offer his obeisances and apologize. So we will hear more about Indra and his exchange with Krishna directly when we go to Surabhi Kund. But this place here, Govinda Kund, became the place where it was ordered that Krishna, Lord Brahma, ordered that Krishna should be... Hey, Lala! Bas! So this was the place where they had a coronation ceremony at Govinda Kund to make Krishna, because when Surabhi came with Indra, she offered prayers of apology to Krishna on behalf of Indra, and Indra was forgiven by Krishna. But then after she had sought forgiveness for Indra, she came herself to Krishna and she said that I have asked you to forgive Indra, but actually Indra, if you think about it, he had tried to kill all of us. So actually, we don't want him to be our Indra. Indra means the master. We actually don't want him to be our Indra anymore. We want you to be our master. We don't want to be under Indra's position, power. So please, if you would become our Indra. So this was a ceremony that took place here, and all the demigods came, and there's a very elaborate description of the puja and the bathing that took place here at Govinda Kund. And so much paraphernalia came. The Sudarshan Chakra came in the form of the ghee lamps. And Krishna's, his lotus came in the form of hundreds of beautiful chamaras. And all the demigods, the god of the wind, brought different articles. Chandra became a mirror to display Krishna's beauty. And all the ladies from the heavenly planets came, and they all offered gifts to Krishna. And then Lord Brahma called that there should be an abhishek. And the different mothers from the heavenly planets, Arundhati, Aditi, and all the mothers of the demigods, and all the chaste older ladies in the demigods' realm came and they bathed Krishna with waters here. And then after that, all the very, very chaste young girls from the heavenly planets, they assisted in dressing Krishna in beautiful fine cloth and seating him on a beautiful asana here. And meanwhile, at the same time, all the cowherd boys who would normally be playing with Krishna, they had gone off somewhere looking for some calves. So they were not party to any of this, because they would have not have really understood any of this. It wouldn't have been to their liking. And Krishna, he felt like, you know, if you're doing something very, very endearing with some of your friends and you're having a very sweet exchange, and somebody very formal comes to the door and says, you know, I need to discuss with you the specific items of something, something, something. And you sort of pull yourself away from what you really were involved in and happy in doing to deal with this formal matter. In this way, Krishna was dealing in a very formal way, in a very grave way with all of this worship, because it is not Krishna who accepts such worship. It is the forms within him of his various incarnations who will be happy to accept such a great and grandiose Aishwaryak ceremony. So Krishna was thinking at the same time, whilst he was seated there, it would be very nice if the cowherd boys were here and the gopis were here. But never mind, Indra, he's insisting to do this worship, so let it be done. So they bathed him here at Govindakund, and this is where the name of Govindakund came from. And then after they had performed all of their worship and they had done aarti, Lord Brahma did the aarti, Lord Shiva was there, everyone was there. And after all of this official ceremonies had been completed, then the demigods left. And as the demigods were leaving on their various carriers, leaving Raj, the cowherd boys who had been looking for their calves and found their calves came wandering into this area in a very casual, playful way. Only to behold, all over the ground were scattered ghee lamps and huge, beautiful chamaras and umbrellas and all kinds of offering plates and gold items and so many things. And they were all scattered all here. And the boys became so astonished to see all these things, and they couldn't figure out where they had all come from. So they very happily picked them all up. And in the playful way, they started fanning Krishna and doing so many things and laughing and saying jokes and playing with Krishna and made him sit on a rock. And they started doing and pretending to do aarti to him. And they were all laughing and joking. And when Balaram came, he thought it was very amusing also. So he sat down next to Krishna and they played in this way. And meanwhile, all the cowherd men had been coming to find the cows on this particular day. So they wandered into this area looking for the cows, and they found all the cows here and Krishna sitting here and all this paraphernalia everywhere, all these opulent things. And Nanda Maharaj said, where did all these things come from? These fans and these different items, where have they come from? And Bhattu said, I can tell you where they came from. He said, it's very simple. One man came here. He had thousands of eyes on his body. And Nanda Maharaj is looking at him. He said, and then another man came. He was on a swan. He was riding on a swan. He had one head, two heads, three heads, four heads. And Nanda Maharaj is thinking, what is Bhattu talking about? And then he said, and then another man came. He had ashes all over his body. And then this one came, and he's describing all the demigods that came. And Nanda Maharaj is thinking, what is Bhattu joking about now? He's such a funny boy. And he patted him on the head, and they picked up some of the things and they dismissed them. And the demigods, as they were leaving, and they watched the cowherd boys doing their loving worship of Govinda, of Krishna, in their own intimate, loving, sweet way, the demigods felt embarrassed in their hearts for the difference of quality between their reverential puja that they were doing in a very somber way and this informal but intimate loving exchange between Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends. So this is one of the reasons why Govindakund is very special, because Krishna received the name of Govinda here, the Indra of the cows, Govindra. So then also we know that in the time of Mahaprabhu Leela, one great personality in our line, Srila Madhavendra Puri, was wandering here and there all over India, and finally he came here to this Braj area, and he wandered into this district and he sat down here over as we were before in this temple. Is the place of the deity, Nathji deity, the deity that Madhavendra Puri found. So we can, if we could keep, I was wanting to tell you when we were there, but we didn't, we were not there in an organized manner. But we should try to keep an impression of that beautiful deity in our minds as we hear about Madhavendra Puri. Because Madhavendra Puri, he came to this place and he chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted. And then he sat down under perhaps even one of these trees here. And he just chanted and chanted and chanted until in the early morning he began to doze. Then when he came back to sense, he's chanting, chanting, chanting. One little cowherd boy came to him. And this little boy had a cup, like a clay cup in his hand. And he said, Baba, I've come here to give this to you. And he said, because Madhavendra Puri had taken a very strict vow that unless somebody gave him something to eat, he wouldn't eat anything. So he said to the little boy, who are you? He said, my name is Gopal, and I live here in this village. And he said, how did you know I was here? And how did you know I was fasting? And he said, oh, Baba, some ladies, they were at the well. My mother was pumping water at the well, and they saw you. And then when they saw you, they thought, oh, take something to that Baba, because maybe he is hungry. Because in this village, nobody fasts. If people don't ask for food from anyone, nobody goes hungry in this village. If they don't ask for food from anyone, then I bring it to them myself. So he said to him, and where do you live? Where do you come from? And he said, I have to go now, but I'll come back. I'll come back to get the pot and take it back later. So Madhavendra Puri drank the milk and felt very, very blissful in his heart. And then he kept chanting and chanting, and he was waiting, wondering when this small boy would return to get this pot. And then the evening came, and Madhavendra Puri slightly dozed instead of sleeping deeply. And in the early morning, he had a dream. And in his dream, this little boy came back. And the little boy said, Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri, wake up, wake up. And he opened his eyes and he said, come, come with me. I want to take you and show you something. So Madhavendra Puri awoke from his sleep and he stood up and he saw the little boy was in front of him. He took his hand. And the little boy, taking Madhavendra Puri's hand, he led him into some forest. And he said to him, you see here in this forest? This is where I live. And he said, who are you? He said, my name is Gopal. I am the lifter of Govardhan Hill. Many, many, many years ago, I was installed here by Vajranar, who was the great grandson of Krishna himself. He installed me here, but over some time I was being worshipped. But then over time, sometime the person who was worshipping me, they became frightened of the Muslims and they buried me here and they ran away and they've left me here. And I've been here in the burning heat and the freezing cold for such a long time. And I've been thinking all the time, when, oh when will Madhavendra Puri come and rescue me? So then Gopal gave him instructions and told him to go to the village, call all the men in the village, and tell them to come here and take me out. And then they should build a temple on top of Govardhan Hill for me. They should place me in that temple. And then they should bathe me with many, many, many pots of cooling water so that my body can become cooled. And they should have a huge anukut, and so many preparations should come. And in this way, you should arrange for my worship. So Madhavendra Puri ran to the village immediately and he called the men and they came with shovels and sticks and whatever they had and they entered into the jungly forest and they began to dig and dig and dig where Madhavendra Puri showed them the place. And then they unearthed this beautiful deity, which we know of course is as Sri Nathji, who is worshipped in Nathdwar. And this beautiful deity, they lifted him, 10 men took to lift the deity out of the soil, and they carried the deity with great care back to the village. And then they followed very explicitly all the instructions that Gopal had given them, and they installed him here, actually, on the top of Govardhan Hill. So on the other side of the hill, a little further up, if we were goats or monkeys, we could climb straight up the hill and go straight down the other side, and we would come to the town of Jatipur, which is the town that was named after Madhavendra Puri. Jat means the tangled hair of a mendicant, his tangled, matted locks. So that town is named after Madhavendra Puri. And there we'll see, as we pass around through that area, we go through, there's a compound where there is a very large Giriraj Shila that is being worshipped there. And in the day they pour milk, when all the, especially from the Balabh Sampradaya, they come in large parties. They pour milk and milk and milk very profusely on the Giriraj Shila, and that milk goes down a gutter, and all the, there's so many dogs simply drink that milk as their food and sustenance for their lives. And in the evening, when it just becomes dark, then they close that area off and they dress that Shila just as if like Giriraj, like Nathji, with very big slanting eyes and many, many necklaces going here and here and here. And they dress him and they think, their conception of worship is that from Nathdwar he comes every evening to engage in pastimes by the side of Giriraj. So I think I will stop the pastime of Govardhan Leela here and continue it again when we get to Surabhi Kund, because Surabhi Kund is intimately connected with this place, because that is the place where Surabhi Devi, she resides there for the benefit, for her benefit, because she can live by the side of Giriraj, and also for the benefit of all those fortunate souls who get an opportunity to come to these sacred places and pray appropriately in the different transcendental Leela stans that we're very fortunate to be able to hear about by the mercy of the Goswamis and our Guru Parampara. So I think I should stop here. Yes, every day. But I read just this when I was reading yesterday that in 10,000 years Giriraj will be gone. Yes, so five have gone, so five more. And I don't know whether the whole of Giriraj goes down or whether some part goes down. I can think about that also. But at the end, when Giriraj disappears and the Jamuna disappears, then Kali Yuga shows its full force. So we've been told that how many years Mahaprabhu will be? 10,000 years. So while the mood of Mahaprabhu becomes the Nam Sankirtan, continues to spread throughout the world, Giriraj will remain and the Jamuna will remain, albeit in very, very lesser and lesser form. And then Kali Yuga will really start. So if we think it's bad now, then the dust. So we should all take as much advantage.
And they seem to be growing in population every minute.
This is a good place to pause, and after just chanting, it's a good place to offer a prayer to Giriraj. I don't have it. Ali Baba, Tola Shanti. We can offer Giriraj here a deep thought from our heart, a glorification, a thanks for how much shelter he's given us and how much taste and kindness he's offered us. So why don't we just pause a moment or two for that, and then I think it would be a good time to move on towards Rasastali.
So, Hare Krishna, we will now proceed to the final part of our little seminar on the 64 qualities of Lord Krishna. We will talk here at this most sacred place about Krishna's Rupa Madhurya, or his exquisite beauty. Again, I would remind the audience, both those who sit on the sacred dust of this place, as well as the numerous tape listening or MP3 listening audience, to remember that the beauty of Lord Krishna is not an external beauty. It is his external and internal are the same, but it vibrates from his heart which is full of love for the devotees in Vrindavan, as well as all the souls whom he wishes to return back to the spiritual world. When Uddhava, the great devotee of Lord Krishna, meets the saint Vidura, he talks about Krishna's pastimes with a very moved heart. He before he speaks about Lord Krishna, he actually goes to Goloka Vrindavan. In other words, he's truly absent from his physical body and enters the spiritual dimension, Goloka Vrindavan. And when he comes back, he speaks with such realized and love-laden words about Lord Krishna that it is very moving. If you feel separation from Lord Krishna and want to hear about his beauty and his activities, you are requested to go to the third canto, where there appear, I believe, two chapters. Purijan Prabhu, is it correct, or is it one chapter where Uddhava remembers Krishna? Two chapters. So there Uddhava says something about Krishna's extraordinary beauty, which is a known fact in Vrindavan. He says, his personal beauty was so great that there was no necessity for his wearing ornaments on his body. In fact, instead of the ornaments beautifying Krishna, Krishna's beauty enhanced the beauty of the ornaments. He is the ornaments of all ornaments, Bhushana Bhushananam. And in this way, you can see that his beauty is really internal. It is not something external. Srila Rupa Goswami writes that Krishna is very beautiful, but his beauty is manifesting according to the closeness of the devotees he is surrounded with. In other words, when Krishna is in Vrindavan as the youthful lover of the gopis, his beauty is foremost. His form becomes somewhat concealed as he moves out to Vrindavan and to the other different stations, that is to Mathura, where he stayed a little above 20 years, I believe 24 or 28 years. And then it becomes, the beauty of Lord Krishna becomes more concealed, that is, not so much manifest, when he finally moves onto the island in the ocean called Dwaraka, where he is in a majestic city. Now, this means that those devotees of Braj, they see most of Krishna's beauty, and therefore their descriptions about Lord Krishna are most beautiful. There is one verse which all over the vast group of Krishna's devotees is considered to be the best verse in describing Krishna's beauty. And this was spoken by the gopis who are best able to appreciate his beauty. I want to request you to now purify your exhausted minds, which think of feet and food, by repeating after me with great happiness. I will first chant the verse for your hearing entertainment, and then I will request to chant it with you. Barha pitam natavara vapukarna yoka nikaram bribat vasha kanaka kapisham vajajantim chamalam Randran Vinur Adara Sudaya Purayan Gopa Brinder Brindaranyang Swapada Ramanang Pravishad Gita Kirti. This is the meditation of the gopis. Krishna wears a peacock feather ornament upon his head. He has a blue kanikara flower stuck over his ear, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, a and the Vaijajanti garland. In this way, Lord Krishna showed his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. These are meditations which you can do when you are not so tired, because then you fall asleep. There are other descriptions which the gopis have given as they arrived at the Rasa dance and beheld Lord Krishna's beautiful form. They saw that there were tresses of hair around his face. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is reminding us, if we wish to meditate about Lord Krishna, we should meditate about his face, which has lotus eyes, which look to the sight and grace the devotees, and we should then meditate about his smile. Here also the gopis say, we have seen the beauty of your earrings which fall on your cheeks. These earrings look like fishes who are hung on the what is behind flask. Is it called a flask? Tail. Yes. They go like this. Here is the tail, but what is it called? Fins. Fins. And then they hang like this. Like this. And they hang at the earlobe, they hang where the of Krishna. If this is Krishna's transcendental ear, then here's the tail of the fish, and it goes like this, round, and it swings back and forth, and this swinging movement makes a particularly light effect on Krishna's cheek, who begin to glow like rising moons. It's very beautiful, I think you can hear. They meditate about Krishna's smiling glances and his broad chest. And they say, since we see this, we have simply surrendered ourselves to become your maidservants. However, if you want to think of the beauty of Krishna, there's one part in his face which is even more congenial for your meditation. It's a white pearl which hangs from his nose and which trembles slightly as Krishna moves. Not only does it tremble, but it shines a little reddish from the inside of Krishna's nostril. So it is moving and it shines reddish, and the gopis simply become totally enchanted by this perception. Krishna's beauty is so beautiful that even Krishna himself becomes attracted to see his beauty. In Rupa Goswami's writings, there are two parts where Krishna himself cannot help but become attracted to his beauty. The first part is, first I want to tell you a lesser known thing. Narada Muni has made a theater play about Lord Krishna, where the Vrindavan pastimes of Lord Krishna are played by actors who look exactly like Krishna and the gopis. It's happening in Vrindavan. So Krishna is in the audience as a regal prince and looks at this play. Now, at the moment when the Krishna actor comes out from behind the curtains and performs his rasa dance with the gopis, Krishna in the audience becomes totally overwhelmed and does something which is ordinarily considered a disturbance in a theater play. he runs on the stage and begins to embrace the actor so that the action cannot take place. Because he is so attracted to the features of his own beauty which are shown in the actor. Now Rupa Goswami describes this beauty of Krishna with a verse which we want to present to you. One day, Krishna happened to see the shadow of his beautiful form reflected on the jeweled foreground. Upon seeing his bodily reflection, he expressed his own feelings. This is what he says. How wonderful it is that I have never seen such a beautiful form. Although it is my own form, still, like Radharani, I am trying to embrace this form and enjoy celestial bliss. This is actually the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He, like Srimati Radharani, wants to experience Krishna. There's a beautiful narration in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. When Mahaprabhu comes to Puri, he sees on the dome of the Jagannath Puri temple a beautiful boy with the color of a smaragd waving him. And he becomes helpless in attraction and runs towards that beautiful boy, runs into the temple and sees him standing on the altar with big round eyes, outstretched arms, and he becomes so attracted that he runs towards that boy. Now imagine Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have been successful to climb on the altar and embrace Lord Jagannath. What would happen then? We don't know. This is undescribable. So like Radharani, he wishes to embrace his form. Prabhupada writes about this. This statement, this is now an instruction for us, this statement shows how Krishna and his shadow reflection are one and the same. There is no difference between Krishna and his shadow reflection, nor between Krishna and his picture. That is the transcendental position of Krishna. You must be very careful when you have pictures of Lord Krishna. You should not throw them in a dirty place. There in our old ISKCON temples, there was also always a container for transcendental garbage. I believe this is a theological uniqueness to call something transcendental garbage. We have created this. And it's nice if you behave very respectful with pictures. Sometimes devotees express a desire, oh, I must have my deity. I would recommend to you to have a nice picture of Lord Krishna first and offer maybe an incense to the picture. It is not that there is a difference. It means also that you must respect the shadow of the deities, or for instance of Tulasi Devi. As you circumambulate Tulasi in the morning, you should never step on her shadow, because the shadow is the same as the personality. This holds true both in Krishna's case as in his pure devotees. Now, I will now enter into something with you which is extremely wonderful. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we receive an instruction where it said that a devotee should actually desire to see the Lord's form. Now, we often have heard Prabhupada cautioning us by saying, first deserve and then desire. But it doesn't mean that we don't want to see Lord Krishna and we don't want that he appears. It means that we will be very carefully working on our transcendental qualification. Listen to the verse of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which may be different than what you have heard in many lectures. The true benefit of all spiritual disciplines is found in seeing the Lord in person. When this is achieved, illusion becomes cut down to the root and pure love of God flourishes. If you want to read this in the original text, please go to Brihad Bhagavatamrita, second part, third chapter, verse 180. So I will now read to you a realized song from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where the Thakur describes what happens when one actually sees Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has given us the deity form so that we can see Krishna and we become... but there are different ways of seeing the deity form. First is you see him as material. Then there is the intellectual vision that you feel, oh, this form is very nice. It represents the spiritual form. It is a symbol. You don't... But the third is that as you see the form of Krishna and the deity on pictures and later in the Sakshat Darshan, you see with bhava, with true love, and then you see Krishna. So this is now the bhava vision of our Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, his birth is successful whose good fortune dawns as he has the vision of Lord Krishna just once. When the jiva gives up all delusion of his mind, then only will he see the vision of Krishna blooming within the eyes of his heart. Huh? You must see with the eyes of the heart, the eyes of bhava. One sees Krishna there. How does he look? Fully decorated with garlands of forest flowers. What does he feel? Well, he is the most expert connoisseur of all the amorous love sports in Vrindavan. And any more information about his form? Yes, his transcendental form is bent in three places, playing wonderfully on his flute. The first bend happens in his feet. And now I want to ask you the very direct question. Is Krishna's right foot before the left foot, or is Krishna's left foot before the right foot? You were all in the last seminar. Krishna's right foot is before the left foot because only then the soles of his feet can touch the end of the zari of Srimati Radharani. And this is extremely important for Krishna.
So his transcendental form is bent in three places, playing wonderfully on his flute. He is the reservoir of all relishable mellows. I'm saying this because if you start with the right bend, you know where the other bends are. You know, here's the first bend, because the right has to go before the left. Then the next comes at his hips. And then the next bend comes at his shoulders, like this. These are the threefold bending forms. He plays wonderfully on his guitar.
Sita.
No.
No?
Flute. Oh. Wake up. Hare Krishna, this is called provoking your audience into wakefulness.
Does Krishna also play a buffalo, a bugle, like a horn?
Krishna also plays a horn, and then the gopis fall unconscious when they hear the deep sound of his buffalo horn, which has one hole for modulation's sake. And then Krishna plays his flute, and then they wake up again. He is the reservoir of all relishable mellows, and he is the abode of all virtuous qualities. By such a beautiful form, he is maddening the entire universe. His complexion is like that of a
monsoon cloud.
A fresh new rain cloud. Mm-hmm. His head is decorated with a
peacock
feather, yes. And the sandalwood tilak on his forehead is most becoming. Here you hear some information that Krishna does not wear Gopi Chandan tilak. He wears sandalwood tilak.
Acha.
He wears a brilliant yellow colored garments. Why garments? What garments does Krishna have? It's plural number. There's obviously the dhoti, there's another garment. There is like a chada, a pitambara. But when he walks through the forest of Vrindavan, he takes this pitambara sometimes and waves it in the air. He likes to go as uncovered as. He stands with his face decorated with a white, sweet smile. And now Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes what happens as he sees this form. Beholding him standing gracefully at the base of a kadamba tree. This is a kadamba tree, Jagatarini. This and this as well, isn't it? So Krishna stands at the base of such a tree. I can see that Krishna's beauty is conquering the luster of an entire mine of sapphires. Wow. Seeing this, my mind becomes so restless that my feet no longer move. I have completely forgotten about my svajanas, my family, and home life in this world. Oh, seeing this sweet form abounding in nectar, I have fallen unconscious as a fountain of tears gushing with ecstatic love cascades from my eyes. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur just goes through Krishna's beautiful form. What a wonderful crown upon his head! What a wonderful flute he is holding in his hands! What a wonderfully beautiful form as he stands in his threefold bending posture. The nectar of his lotus feet is overflowing with a tingling sound coming from clusters of ankle bells which are decorating them. Very nice. See, when someone has seen Lord Krishna, he can no longer move back to his old life. Actually, we really pray that the Braj experiences, as we come here year by year, for some of us the therapy will take many years, for some of us, like me, certainly many lifetimes. But as we come here, more and more, we should really aspire for a time when our consciousness can no longer move back to the material world. We should really wish that we one day Krishna just captures our minds and we cannot no longer go back. And then at that time something will happen. When will this auspicious day be mine? Begging a little food in Madhukari, I will wander from door to door. Filling my palm, I will drink a little water from Yamuna. This is my food. At night, I will sleep at the door of the nearest temple. Eventually, the time will come when this material body will become a tasty feast for all the aquatics. When at death it is thrown in the river Jamuna, then living eternally in my Duhanatelo, my spiritual body, at the feet of a gopi in her own grove, I will serve my greatly treasured Sri Krishna. O Janavi Devi, please show your causeless mercy to me now. This is all that is prayed for today by this desperate, worthless sinner. I will not now tell you the end of the song, because that is very dramatic, the end of this song. I will tell it to you in 1 minute. Srila Jiva Goswami describes that there are three forms of Lord Krishna, and these forms become partially manifested also in Vrindavan. The majestic form, Aishwarya Gata, the sweet form, or Madhurya Gata, and the compassionate form, or Kripa Gata. Krishna's Aishvarya Gata is manifest when he amazes Brahma by doing what? By replacing the cowherd boys, by assuming the form of these millions, or the forms of the millions of cowherd boys. Can you imagine a form of Lord Krishna which is extremely sweet when this becomes manifest? Rasa dance, there may be scenes in the Rasa dance where he puts his crown down before Srimati Radharani, begging for forgiveness and cries a tear. Or a sweet form is also, the example is given when Krishna drinks milk from Yashoda's breast and his wonderful cheeks are all sprinkled with drops of milk and he is endlessly drinking milk as the endless love of Yashoda expands through her milk into Lord Krishna's mouth. Can you imagine an example of Krishna's Kripa Gata, his compassionate form? First example which comes to mind is Giriraj, who took us on his lap for a whole week. But any more? The example which is given is this form, mercy form or compassionate form, becomes manifest when Krishna overlooks the offense of Putana and thinks, she is my mother, she gave me milk from her own body, and grants her liberation. It's a lot of compassion. So these forms of Lord Krishna are just very wonderful. And you might now ask yourself, well, you said, you encouraged us in the unconventional practice that we should, that perfection of spiritual, it's not a practice, the unconventional idea that the perfection of spiritual life is to see Lord Krishna standing before us, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings here, his birth is successful, whose good fortune dawns, as he has the vision of Lord Krishna, just one time. I am sorry, I can't sing in English now. So how will this happen? How will we be able to behold Lord Krishna one day? What is your plan? Do you sometimes think about such things as making advancement in your life? Do you sometimes have a plan for where you are, which tells you, I'm now here and my next step will be this in my spiritual life? I personally want to encourage you here at this very, very sacred spot to not be dull-headed in your spiritual life, where you just go on, automatically everything will happen. I've joined this Hare Krishna movement. My dear devotees, don't put your mind on automatic pilot when it comes to spiritual advancement. There is food which you should never be tired of consuming. And this food is Lord Krishna's mercy, the opportunity to do bhajan, and finally the third type of foodstuff you should know, which is endlessly satisfying, is love for Krishna. Once again, three things in this world you should know you can never get enough of. It's the mercy of Krishna, it's the opportunity to perform deep bhajan, and it is love for Krishna. So you must make some plan to get the mercy of Krishna. You must make some plan to do something which is on your level of bhajan, where you can be touched in your heart. You must make some plan to, like yesterday Burijan Prabhu played for us this, it was the day before yesterday, where Prabhupada said the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to advance in love. This is very important. Advance in love. So the song which Bhaktivinoda Thakur here says is so nice, and I really want to request you to now listen, because this will give you a very concrete form of understanding how to make advancement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, "Accepting the form of a honeybee, I always hope for a residence near Lord Krishna's lotus feet, and I will get it very easily, this residence near Krishna's lotus feet, because I always sing the glories of this Krishna, adoring no one else." So by singing the glories of Lord Krishna, we can hope to come near to Lord Krishna, become touched by his wonderful personality, and in this way also become transformed in our old age, in our young age, and in our middle age, wherever we are at the present moment. Hare Krishna. Please excuse me that I was a little intense, but it's just a lecturer's device who just wants that some points remain remembered by his audience. We will now dive into the beauty of Krishna Naam by requesting our most suited and most talented singer, His Holiness Niranjana Maharaj, who has so kindly followed this invitation to sing something.
Hare Krishna.